the homes that we can here. We're, you know, look, at some point, they're going to be beyond their usable space, usable condition, but I don't see that happening with this structure. Yes, it's a big home on a very large lot, but I just don't see granting the variance relief on this. I think it ruins the character of the neighborhood.
I agree with you. It's a large home, which is unique for the area. It's not like the other houses, but that's what makes St. Leonard's Tract such a wonderful place, because there's not that same Ocean City consistency, house after house after house. It has a unique look, and I also worry about large lots being subdivided. That's what gives character to an area. Again, you're knocking down a house and creating two inadequate lots. They're not per code, so that concerns me too.
Okay.
Fortunately or unfortunately, Ms. McDevitt has talked to realtors, because the house is either going to be sold or taken down one way or the other, because Mary McQuaid's in assisted living, and I know economics doesn't play into the issue. They've been in the community for over 60 years. The brother has dementia. He's going to be going into assisted living. They don't believe that the realtors don't believe that the house can be salvaged in the condition that it is. The basement below flood elevation, so that gets either turned into cement, so it can't be used for habitable space. And it doesn't look like the upstairs of the house, given the condition that hasn't been used for the last 10 years, other than the cousin and the brother living in it, existing. It's going to make taxes are too much for them to carry. So now the question is, they were looking at it from an economic sense. If I sell it as an existing house, how much do I make? If I tear it down, sell it as lots, how much do I make?
So we've had applications in the past where you have a substantial home on a large lot where the applicant doesn't subdivide but build a beautiful large home on the site, which also can be done here if the property owner wants to sell. But I think a lot of the example that was given about the size of the lots goes way back in time. We've had several master plan updates. They've repeatedly talked about trying to reduce the density, not increase it, maintain or reduce. And I think, in my mind, this is similar to that. We really shouldn't be trying to keep adding more units to the city if they're not necessary. And I don't think this is a necessary subdivision.
If I could, one thing, and I just lost the train of thought. Mr. Callahan, the one thing you said was, if you renovate the home, you have to make it flood compliant. Something that we did when we got in office, and this is how a lot of homes are being renovated right now. You can do it in phases. Each year, you can do up to 50% of that home's value, and you don't have to be flood compliant. So I did it on my home. The house next to me did it. Several other homes throughout the city have done that to preserve. That was one of the reasons we did it. We lost points in our CRS rating, but we were able to gain that back in other ways to meet that same requirement. But it allows the older structures to be maintained in the community. Other towns followed suit. Brigantine does it now. Margate has the same rules.
But it also requires you to find a special buyer.
Well, it does, yeah. But
somebody comes in and says, okay, I'll do a kitchen and a couple baths this year.
It took me 24 years to do my house.
Well, I understand that, but
I just finished it last spring.
A lot of times.
You didn't have to do it in phases. Also, couldn't afford to do it all at once. But
or the other object is, you knock it down, and
understood.
Then, and depending on how it comes, even that person may have to come back to the board, because he doesn't have, while he has 115 feet of depth going down Dudley Avenue, if he faces his house on Dudley Avenue, that becomes a front yard, he doesn't have the depth on Benton. So he now a lot of depth very short, so he has to come back here and get approval for that.
It's an existing lot.
That's existing lot.
Existing lot.
Versus...
It's a pre-existing non-conforming use.
Granted, that's a plus for us. But once again, I think the issue is, Mr. Barnhart said, when you look at, you have six units, and we would have six units. Now, whether there was a school there or not, you still let them develop it as a six-unit complex. You did not make them require to St. Leonard's Tracks configurations. You said, okay, school comes down, it's vacant land. Right back to Mr. Romas. It's vacant. All right, so we're going to let you have all undersized lots in violation of St. Leonard's Track. You don't have to have 62, you don't have to have 69, you're going to have 5,000 square feet, 4950. Here, here's your six lots. Oh, does it work well? Oh yeah, it fits right in there. And the reason that they did it back in 1990, because they looked at the blocks on either side of it and said, matches up perfectly. Boom, six units, six units, six units, six houses, six houses, six houses. No problem.
So that, this that very same argument was made for a beach block, I think it was this beach block, Dudley, where they, I forget the owner's name, she came in and wanted four lots across the beach.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Said, well, there's four here, there's four down here, but it just doesn't fit the pattern of development that's there. And that's what I'm having a hard time with. And we have, you know, two beautiful homes there, one bought the center lot and now has that as recreation area. It's, it keeps the open space in this St. Leonard's Track, which is something I think we need to stand on. I don't mean to take up everybody else's comments, but that's how I feel about it.
The other the other aspect is if the job is turned, it becomes 115 feet in depth, and it becomes a 50 and a 55 foot lot, which is similar to what was done across the street on the Chazen estate, which was divided into 55, 50, and 60 feet with 125 feet of depth. That was the most recent subdivision in the area.
Right, they were compliant with that.
I think they needed some a variance for, I'm not sure. I can't remember.
And north south.
They're fronting on Dudley Avenue, but the predominant lot is 125 feet on Dudley Avenue in depth. And if you turn the other side, but, you know, there is something to be said for keeping the additional house. And there, the question is, will somebody develop it that way or renovate it that way and keep it? So that's the wisdom of the board.
I can just piggyback on Commissioner Langrath's comment about the sample that was given here on this exhibit. I think as a homeowners in the area, you view Ventnor Avenue as and a unit itself. I think if you were to take a larger sampling, I think the bias would, as you had even said, the bias doesn't really add a cohesive argument for the two lots. And I think the impact on the neighborhood is something that is something we haven't talked about because it's a little bit of a perception. And once you take that step, and I think the precedent to take that step is a negative one for the neighborhood itself. So there's that, and I think that there's a lack of a unique hardship in a way for this division that has that could have negative impacts in the future. So I kind of piggyback on Commissioner Langrath. I think there's a lot of hypotheticals too about whether the property could be developed. That doesn't really fall into our purview. It could be developed as a single family home in the future, or it could be renovated.
It's not the issue. The issue is the lot size and what we want as far as the guide and the open area. That's the whole thing. And there's two ways that you can orient the home can be oriented either direction on either street. So.
You don't want to be orienting new houses facing Ventnor Avenue where you have to, that's been a no-no, even the lot subdivision that the Palafis did with the subdivision on Dorset Avenue, it's still aligned toward Dorset Avenue where you come in.
I think you've thought that through, and I think you're, in this particular case, you've made a good choice there, but I think it's a bridge too far.
We thought that there's not any other, let's talk about precedent. There's really not those kind of lots. A lot next door to us is 95 feet also along Ventnor Avenue. Now he does have 125, 115 feet deep. not going to be subdivided though, because you'd be creating two 47-foot wide lots on Ventnor Avenue. You'd be creating two curb cuts on Ventnor Avenue.
Right.
So that's not going to happen. So that house has, I mean, when I say has to remain a single family, unless something drastic would happen in Ventnor, that house doesn't have the ability to subdivide. So that's 95 feet on Ventnor Avenue is going to stay as a 95-foot lot next. Same as us, we're staying 95 feet on Ventnor Avenue. We're just angling because we have 115 feet on Dudley to do it that way, which matches up to the balance of Dudley Avenue going toward the bay.
But this, but the, because of all the other, the side variances are the same, then the character of the homes that could be built on there won't necessarily be the same as the homes that are in the surrounding area, correct?
Well, that's
how I would say that they wouldn't be in character.
May I interrupt for 1 second? Could, we're going back and forth to go around the area.
I'd like to hear
but
you.
I'd like to interrupt the public. And I think the public deserves a little comment here. And if you would mind, if you would acquiesce.
We'll address it from there.
I'd like to hear what you have to say.
And the public portion is now open. Would anyone like to make a comment, please? Bill, for you first.
Give us your name and address. I'll get you sworn in.
Sure. I'm Bill Sill. I live at 103 South Suffolk in Ventnor City, New Jersey.
Okay.
I'm president of the St. Leonard's Association, and I've testified numerous times before the zoning board.
Mr. Sill, do you swear to tell the truth tonight?
I do.
Thank you.
I'm here tonight to explain why the variance application cannot and should not be granted. It cannot be granted as the applicant's notice was inadequate. It has not met its evidentiary burden, and it is not, and it should not be granted as it's contrary to the public interest. By way of background, it's important to note that due to the association's advocacy in the Atlantic Farm proceeding, windmill proceeding, in May 2023, the St. Leonard tract was for the first time deemed to be a historic district by both the New Jersey Historic Preservation Office and the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management. This is a significant development for Ventnor in that it will bring additional visitors interested in historic districts to Ventnor. This is no small matter, as according to the state of New Jersey, in 1993, cultural historic tourism accounted for $433 million annually. We also want to acknowledge that the city has recognized the tract's historic nature on the occasion of the association's 100th anniversary by proclaiming August the 14th, 2021 to be St. Leonard's Track Day. I'm going to address the notice first. The notice was inadequate because it inadvertently used the incorrect code requirements for lot size and depth, which inadvertently made it seem that the variance was far less significant than it truly was. Now, I could go through that with you, but Roger and Roger McLaren, in his memo, pointed out this fact. And in your presentation today, you used the correct numbers, but that doesn't take care of the problem with the notice. And the reason that is a problem is that it has the effect of the utilization of the wrong lot size and depth numbers incorrectly minimized the effect of the subdivision, and it inadvertently misled the public as to the magnitude of the variances and the number of variances that would be needed. The incorrect lot size and depth requirements were orally changed today, but there is an additional variance that would be needed as a result of the correct lot size and depth being used. Now, we take exception to the statement in the narrative that, quote, the applicant believes that the variance relief can be granted as they are both remaining in a substantial lot conforming to the requirements of St. Leonard's Tract Association. This is incorrect on three different bases. First of all, unfortunately, the city does not enforce the conditions in the tract's deeds. In order to do that, we would have to go to court. So whether the proposal conforms to the tract's deeds is, for the purposes of this proceeding, it's not terribly relevant. Second, our planned Oceanside community relies on the requirements contained in the deed in each property that they all have, if you're a property owner in the tract, not on an association document. And third, I would like to take us out of the world of conjecture and bring us into the world of fact. Before I came here, I looked online at the tax maps for the St. Leonard's tract, not just a cherry-picked portion of the tract, but the entire tract. And a great many houses are located on lots that are 125 by 50, or 6,250 square feet, or larger. Some are over 14,000 square feet. So lots that are 5,700 square feet and 5,225 square feet would not conform to would not conform. Most importantly, building more than one building per lot was explicitly precluded by a condition in our deeds. Thus, this proposal to subdivide the lot into two non-conforming lots and build houses is antithetical to the tract's plan and mission. And I will just point out, as it was pointed out by Commissioner Landgraf and the mayor, that what we're talking about is the totality of the tract and what happens within the tract. And that's a very important thing. We could decide to piecemeal subdivide the entire tract using the same logic that you tried to bring forth today. Excuse me, one second. But a lot of this discussion really sidesteps a major issue, which just has not been discussed. The applicant and the application provides no justification for a C1 or C2 variance, and instead incorrectly relies on the applicant's cousin's financial need. We empathize with the cousin, with her current physical condition and challenges, but as Roger McLaren's memo correctly points out, the city's regulation states, quote, the hardship must relate strictly to the physical or topographic features of the property and cannot relate to any personal or financial hardship that you will suffer. A C2 variance would only be granted if the public benefits of the variance outweigh the detriment to the public good. Here, there is no public benefit to granting a variance, and a grant would be contrary to the spirit of the city's code. And I'd ask you to look at Article 4, Section 125B3, in which the code permits variances to aid the repair and rehabilitation of historic structures. In contrast, the application would disrupt and contravene the very characteristics that led BOEM and the New Jersey Historic Protection Office to deem the tract a historic district. They called it a planned Oceanside community with zoning and design style regulations regarding setback requirements. We are proud of our tract and has become known as one of the gems in Ventnor's Crown. If you go on listings of MLS, you'll see that the houses within the tract prominently mention that fact. We are genuinely concerned that a grant of this application could be viewed by developers as a signal that the city would entertain variances permitting additional subdivisions within the tract. If that were to occur, it could threaten the tract's designation as a historic district, as a historic district can and has been delisted if its structures and historic elements are diminished or destroyed. We respectfully ask that the planning board deny this application. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to make comment before the board?
Name and address, please.
I just want to say Happy New Year to everybody here, and I'm not going to be as long as some other people. So, Leo, good seeing you again. I haven't seen you since 1996.
Mr. Tripp, how are you?
All right, Gordon, everything's good. I've been Anthony Trippishin, 5604 Winchester Avenue, Vining, New Jersey.
Swear to tell the truth?
I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth.
Nice seeing you also.
Nice seeing you, thank you. I've been in Vining since 1974, lived in that house. I love it here, I'm sure everybody else loves this Vining the same way I do. And every time I go to various communities, you go to Longport, you go to Margate, you go up to Haddonfield, New Jersey, there's always historic areas, beautiful homes, mansions, so forth and so on, and it gives the character, of that town something to behold. I feel the same way about the track, okay? I hate to see things change, population density in the summertime in my area only increases with people coming down, renting homes. I got houses across the street now that were just built up, million-dollar homes, and now people are renting them out as Airbnbs. So you wind up with more cars on the street, less parking, and then you go down Dudley Avenue, it could be the same thing there. Dudley Avenue between Somerset and Oxford and Dudley is packed. Both sides of the street is packed with cars in the summer, because you got the bayfront homes. Mark Gallagher just tore his house down across the street, is building a huge house, it looks great, fits right in with the rest of the buildings on the track. The one on Vining Avenue just went up, big, looks good. There's one thing I want to say, I'm going to let you go. According to this deed restriction that was instituted in 1921 by the St. Leonard's Association, it says that in the case of removal or destruction of any building or part of the building now erected in violation of foregoing covenants and conditions or any of them, said land shall be subject to the covenants and conditions here mentioned, and any new building or part thereof shall not be erected or used in violation, which is one building per lot. Thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Jim. Hey, Jim. Name and address for the record, please.
James Quinlan, 1 South Dudley Avenue.
South Dudley. Mr. Quinlan, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thanks.
Board, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Commissioner, thank you for hearing me out. Thanks for being here tonight and for your time. I'm south and east of this property, directly catty-corner from the McQuaid property. I've lived in Vining full-time for almost 6 years in March. A majority of my house can view the McQuaid property. It is a huge house. It is on a huge lot. Which begs the question of why a variance would come forward asking for more space. It is literally one of the largest lots in the city of Vining, and yet it's apparently not big enough, so we have to develop it more. I just think logically it smacks of an overreach. I don't count anyone else's dollars. I understand the economics of it. I've met the individuals who live in that home. I've helped the gentleman who is living there now into the house when he was too winded to get from the corner of the bus to this house. They're nice people, but again, this is an overreach. It's not necessary. The property can be developed. I'm sure it can be profitable for somebody with the right plan, right place. And furthermore, you know, again, I'm not a land use lawyer, but I've heard nothing about hardship, and I certainly don't think that adding another house with more parking is to the public benefit. So I would just ask this board to consider the fact that you have no hardship, you have no public benefit, and logically it smacks of an overreach, and I don't think it's appropriate. I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good evening. Tim Kreischer, Vining.
Mr. Kreischer, what's your address? I'm sorry.
I'd rather not give it. I don't think it's required, but I'll give it anyway. 117 North Somerset.
Please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thanks.
So thank you, all the board members, for your service. You provide a very important and valuable service to Vining today and in the future. Look, there has been no reputable family in the city of Vining through the years than the McQuaid family. And if anybody deserves any consideration, it is certainly the McQuaids. That being said, I think there's some issues, and I'd like to thank Commissioner Mayor Landgraf, whatever title you're going by today, for recognizing the importance of the St. Leonard's track and to the stature of the city of Vining by having that in our community. I don't know your name, sir, but you spoke about density and having one house, now with this variance having two. there has been nobody, nobody in this city that has fought for less density in this town than me. So I appreciate your position and your saying that. Mayor Kriebel, you mentioned that this sets a precedent, which I think it does, that you send a message that, well, if you're in St. Leonard's Track and you want to buy a big home and tear it down and subdivide it, you know, you can do that. And I think that's a dangerous precedent to set. You know, today it's 5 feet. The next applicant comes in and says, well, you gave it to them for 5, I want 8. The next one says, you gave it for 8, and I want 15. And over a period of time, the zoning laws are just destroyed. And while everybody sympathizes with McQuaid's situation, I think that the city and the board needs to adopt a philosophy that build the house that you can, not that you want, or in this case, develop the lot that you can, not what you want to develop. So I would encourage the board to vote no on this variance. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else wishes to make comment? Hearing no more, the public portion is now closed.
Mr. Cook, hearing all the comments we've just heard, it's the applicant's intention to withdraw the application tonight, not proceed to a vote.
So be it.
Yeah, just, I mean, for the record, since we started and proceeded, generally speaking, we've given leeway, but the board does need to have to grant that request. And I don't know. Yeah, I know what our position's been in the past, that we've kind of allowed that. I don't know if the board has any thoughts.
What are we legally obligated to do?
He's checking.
You can, it's a request.
It's a request.
So, I mean.
So if the applicant's requesting to withdraw the application, what's our liability?
Our liability is none. What it does is it in the future, it could potentially come back with a revised application, which you'd have to file a new application, pay the fees.
That's their right.
That's their choice.
That's their right.
I agree. Some might take the position that
no,
you went through the whole hearing and you know you kind of. I tend to agree. I just
my position to, is it's their right to come before the board of hearing. If they will withdraw the application, they so be it, and that's that.
I don't know if anyone want to send a message that. We need a vote on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of thing.
By doing that, I have the ability to explore other options.
You do. If we deny this, you can still do that. Or make another application. I mean, we just went through, 45 minutes of testimony, public comment, board comments? Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I'm in the same world, Brian, I know. Typically, it's rare that a board would do that. And I'm torn with saying that, but it just seems that we're going to, look, there's two other homes that were recently torn down in this area. And I kind of want to send a message. Don't come in here for a subdivision on one of those four lots. It's not appropriate. It doesn't fit the character of the St. Leonard's Track. It doesn't fit the character of what we want to keep there. I'll defer to the rest of the board, but that's kind of my desire.
I agree.
Yeah, you say that. I agree.
I mean, in 30 plus 35 years of doing this, I've never seen a board deny.
That's what I was just going to say.
I know.
We've never seen it.
Like I said, in my 30 years, I've never had a board deny a request.
I was going to say, you can sort of send a message and also say, okay, we sent our message and we can let you withdraw it.
I think you put a lot of flares up.
So the court dealt with the question of whether an applicant, after the conclusion of the hearing and when it is becoming evident, I'm not just saying that that's the case, evident that the board is going to deny the application, has the right to withdraw the application without prejudice. The court pointed out that a zoning board of adjustment is quasi-board, compared it to the withdrawal of an application in such circumstances to the taking of a dismissal under the court rules and with, if you were to file a lawsuit, and concluded that where an applicant seeks to withdraw a pending application before a zoning board without prejudice, they point to a court rule that says an action shall be dismissed at the plaintiff's, applicants in this case, insistence only by leave of court, leave being our board, not the court, and upon such terms and conditions as the court deems appropriate. And then he goes on and basically says the board should be lenient about these things.
I don't want to get
yes.
We should grant the request.
Yes. I think you sent your message while granting the request.
I think we've heard it.
Yes.
Sorry.
Message received.
So at this point in time, are you formally requesting to withdraw the application?
Yes.
Okay. As of this date, and that is the case. So at this time, does the board need to vote on this? There's no, just the.
Is anyone opposed to allowing?
Is anyone opposed to the formal withdrawal?
Is everyone in favor?
Everyone in favor?
Aye.
You may withdraw the application without prejudice.
For what it's worth, I went back, I looked at it initially. It's a moot point. Mr. Sill made a comment about your notice. I thought your notice was fine. But.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Those of you who have been getting ready to leave and have stayed the whole time, thank you for appearing before the board this evening.
Leo, this next application is a use variance.
It is a B variance, so yes.
We have one board member that needs to take leave. We'll take a few minute break and then we'll be back on the session.
Mr. Chairman, the mayor and I have to step out.
Yes. So noted. Commissioner? Commissioner Landgraf,
yes, sir.
Thank you for being here this evening and gracing us with your wisdom. Thank you for your wisdom.
Be here.
So, Lance, thank you very much.
You've been escorted out of one pleasant.
Lance, we are back on the record. This meeting is now back in session. Yes, the next application is that of, 111 Cambridge?
111 South Cambridge.
Right.
Michael Shamchick is the owner of the property.
Right.
Block. All jurisdictional requirements have been met. First thing we have to go over is res judicata.
That's correct.
This is an application that came before you in 2023. The application is back. So we have to be able to show you tonight that our application, before you hear our application, was substantially different than the application presented at that point in time. So going over the application that was presented at that point in time, the rooftop deck was built as in a second story on top of the roof. So that's been eliminated. So that deck and the staircase to get to that deck has been eliminated. There was an 8-foot safety glass rail built around that deck. That has been eliminated. The location of the pool equipment, which was servicing that second story deck, has been removed and relocated. So it's been placed with the existing HVAC units that are in existence for the 20 units of the complex. We are adding, as you can see by our new application, we'll be adding landscaping. We're proposing that security cameras. We're supposed to be adding areas for pool, internet services, and everything else. But the real issue is that the new application, a whole second floor deck and top of that rooftop deck has been eliminated. The location of the pool and spa has been removed. The safety glass rail has been changed. The location of the equipment has been changed. So based on that, we believe that you're able to grant us res judicata to say that the application tonight is substantially changed from the application that was presented. The application that was presented had 3 yes votes and 4 no votes at that point in time.
What are you applying for, first of all?
The new application tonight would be a use variance because anything that we're putting up for the pool, which will now be on the roof instead of up on a second story, that requires an expansion of a non-conforming use because the building is already non-conforming at technically the height. The existing height is over your 35 feet, so by putting the rooftop spa on there increases the height. So it's technically a use variance for an expansion and for the pool spa. So it's 2 use variances.
Well, wait a minute. The spa was on top of a roof.
No, the spa was on top of a deck on top of the roof.
Yeah, but the deck was...
12 feet higher up in the air.
You're saying, no. The pool wasn't 12 feet in the air.
Mr. Chairman,
I can't follow what you're saying.
Just before we, just so everyone understands, I didn't do a count, but most of you are here. It doesn't matter if you were here in 2013 or not, but in 2023, in March of 2023, we heard an application for this property, for this rooftop spa and on this mid-rise apartment. We denied it in March, and then the law basically says, once something's denied, we kind of gotten into the last application almost. If something's denied, you don't get a second bite of the apple. But it doesn't go so far. There's a test that the board at the outset, because now there's a new application that is, the board needs to determine whether it's substantially similar. And I just want to get some principles. So it's called the doctrine of res judicata. And basically, if the answer to the question indicates that there has been a prior application of the board, then the record of that prior case should be studied. In order for the doctrine of res judicata to be applicable, it must be shown among other things that, number one, the second application, being this one, is substantially similar to the first, the same. So that's the main question. Is this application basically substantially similar to the first? If it is not, we go on to the merits, he presents his case. If the board finds that this is just a redo, the law says you can't do that. You don't get a second shot. But the other factors are, but that's the main factor. The same parties or privities are involved. That's not an issue. It's the same applicant. There must be no substantial change in the application itself or conditions surrounding the property. So that's somewhat tied into the first part, but again, there must be no substantial change in the application itself or conditions surrounding the property. There must have been an adjudication on the merits. In the first case, we got to it. We voted 4-3 no. And then both applications must involve the same cause of action. Hey, the treatise on land use gives one example, and then I'm just going to read it. Here's the example he gives. If an applicant files an application seeking to erect a building within 5 feet of a property line and the variance is denied, neither the applicant nor the owner may file an application seeking exactly the same kind of relief. On the other hand, if the second application seeks to erect a building 10 feet from the property line, then the same relief is not being sought, and the matter would not be res judicata. It can go forward. So I think we need to listen to whether they want to put Mr. Barnhart on to explain some testimony, or Mr. Callahan just jumped right into it, but I wanted to at least frame that, and maybe we have to have him go through and just explain what's different again. But does everyone understand what the issue is? We initially have to decide whether this is different.
I have a question. Do we need a copy of the prior application to see exactly what was being proposed then? Since we have the current application, which shows what they want to do, would that not aid us in making that?
We have the prior resolution that was in the packets. Whether we have the actual plan itself, I know Roger has a copy, I believe.
Let me have Mr. Barnhart walk you through a little bit of it.
John, Mr. Barnhart, let me get you.
He can explain to you some of the differences between prior and today.
Mr. Barnhart, name and address just real quick.
John Barnhart, 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
I'll also have Mr. Smith.
And you swear affirm a testimony you'll give tonight will be the truth?
I do.
And I'll have Mr. Shamshick also sworn in.
Okay, Mr. Shamshick, you can come up, and Mr. Barnhart will accept this credential.
He was here at the meeting prior to Scott Abbott, who was representing.
Okay, Mr. Shamshick, just your name and address, please.
Michael Shamshick, 111 South Cape Ridge.
And please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
And you're the principal of 111 South Cambridge LLC, right?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, John?
Yeah, so just speaking strictly with regard to Ray Giudicata and some damage change. So the prior application didn't have a roof house, was about a hot tub. But the way that it was situated, first of all, it was a different location on the roof. It was more towards the rear building for off a street side of the building. It was potentially more impactful to the residential, the single family residential structures that are laid on the opposite side of the ocean from the building. That pool structure also, as Mr. Callahan was trying to explain, there was an elevated deck that was being built on the roof that you would actually then walk upstairs to then get into the hot tub or swim spot. So the structure was about 6 or 7 feet higher than what is currently proposed. The swim spot is now proposed to just be set strict directly on the existing roof structure that's there now today. Third, as I mentioned, the pool or the swim spot has been relocated to essentially the center of the roof. So if we were to project that, what we're proposing all the way down to the ground, there are no setback variances required with regard to the location of the structure on the property itself. Additionally, there has been, you can see in this plan, there's a number of landscape elements or green roof design elements that are being implemented into this project to create additional buffering and such. So we believe that this project is substantially different than what was originally applied for.
Pool equipment also being relocated?
That is correct. The pool equipment will be within the same area as the existing HVAC rooftop equipment.
Once again, we believe that that's a substantially different application that we'll be presenting tonight than what you heard last time around.
How do you get there? How do you get to it?
There's a stair.
How do you get to this? So there are multiple levels of roofs, and so there's a stair that you go up at from the lower roof level. There's a stair you go up to get to the upper roof level, which is where the spot.
How do you get up to the roof?
How do you get to the roof itself from the enclosed penthouse? As you can see in this rendering, you can see some doors that come out of that top level. This entire top level is Mr. Sanchez's unit. He lives in that unit. Like, is it the balance of the building he owns, and they are tenants.
Right.
There are 20 units in the building, and this rooftop area is for his sole individual use.
Now, on that is where is the spa is on, not on the high part but on the lower part.
The spa is on the higher part.
It's up on the higher part.
Correct.
Which is where it was. Is that where it was before?
It was on the higher part, but not in the same location.
But it's okay. It moved 10 feet forward, or 5-10 feet back, or whatever.
So is the elevation of the top of the spa the same?
No. The spa was sitting on a deck.
Okay, so the deck just wasn't built around it.
Correct. The deck was being built on top of this higher roof, and the spa was going on top of that.
Okay.
Then there was an 8-foot railing in the system, bringing it to a total of a 12-foot high. Total 12-foot.
So
we were 2'6" from the front. I'm sorry.
So how did it get built in the beginning? Was it, did it have approval?
It's not built. It's not built.
But wasn't it, it was never built?
No.
Oh, it was just approved, it was just the...
Denied.
We denied it.
Engineer.
So it never went that far? I forgot.
It's okay.
And you're proposing to build it without the extensive engineering that was presented in the first...
No, it will be the same weight loads that it can handle. So it will just go on the deck versus, it will go on the roof versus being built up higher.
I'm not going for that.
And from the front, we were 2 feet off the parapet off the front. And now we're 12 feet back, whereas originally we were 2 feet off the front. Now we're 12 feet back. Also, originally... So originally, if you look at this, this is the elevator parapet. So we were above this. And then above this was the railing, which there's the chimney that's there.
Right.
And that chimney, literally, we were above that. So if we would stand up there, we were like, you know, a shoulder length ahead of that. Now, it butts up against this. It doesn't go higher than this. And we're a foot below this. So we're actually off the roof itself, comes up to there. We don't go above anything that's the highest point that's already on it. And the 8-foot railing system that we had is now 42-inch, which is 42-inch, and we brought it in 12 feet off the front. So you really can't see it, you can't hear it, and you really won't even know it exists.
There's no parapet up there.
Excuse me?
There's no parapet up there.
No, there is a parapet. There's a parapet on the front wall and the sides. We'll be coming 12 feet off of the front. When I say front, I should really say the rear because it's the beach side. So you'll be coming 12 foot 8 off the front of the parapet all the way back towards here.
So the change in the application you're saying is just how you put it in there. It's in this, it's in the same, it's on the same roof.
It is.
But here's the point, and you heard your attorney read an example of if you change a setback to a structure, then that's a good example of not having race judicata. We have
That was in reference to a property line, not this application. That was a generic thing. And it referred to a property line.
We have changed the setback of this structure from the property lines. It's the exact same thing that your attorney just described. We've changed the setbacks, we've changed the height, we've changed the screening. I mean, I don't understand how you couldn't see this as a substantially different application.
But you're still you're still using a roof.
You're still putting it on the same roof.
I understand that, but as another example, when we dealt with this before, you have a minor subdivision. If you get denied for a two-lot minor subdivision, you move the lot line to a different location. It's still a two-lot minor subdivision, but pretty much every board I've been in front of, if you make a change like that, does not see that as race judicata and lets you move forward. This is no different than that. Yes, it's still a pool, but it's in a different location on the lot. The presumption is that you denied the last application because of how high the pool was, because of the location that it was on the lot. We've changed all of that.
You still have 2 D variances, right?
We're not denying the variance. Still need a use variance for an expansion of a non-conforming use to put the pool there, and you still technically need a use variance for a height.
Yeah,
that's what you guys have to vote on if we get past res judicata. But to get past res judicata, we needed to show you the changes. As Mr. Sampson just said, we were 2 feet off the parapet, we're now 12 feet off the parapet. We had a deck 6 feet higher than the roof. That deck's been removed. We had steps going to that deck. That's been removed. We've had an 8-foot staircase around it. That's been reduced to a 42 inches. So those are major changes in that application that gets us to the new application. And then we'll be able to explain to you what we think are the positive things that this application will do for the city of Ventnor.
Are we allowed to ask questions?
Sure. Right. Right.
into their property. It was, do you remember that?
I do, very clearly, yeah.
With the way this is positioned now, are you able to still look down to all properties?
No, actually, you can't see anything. So you are literally around where the HVAC is, and you can't see the top of a roof, you can't see other people's homes, you have no visual access.
Is that because you brought it down so far?
Because we brought it down and we moved it back.
Yeah, I do still have that.
And it's now in the middle.
Yeah.
Right, we have it all the way in the front.
It's now in the center of the...
Right.
And it's away from the single-family residence here, in this picture, it's away from the single-families to the, what I guess, it's away from the single-families to the south. And the only thing that depends...
People looking at it, overlooking it, that's why I moved it to the center.
The green wasn't there last time, though, right?
No, that's all newly...
And that's part of our project, if we get past hurdle one, that's part of the project where we'll tell you why we think the benefits of the Benton based on project two.
What we would do is, this is the entryway, or as I would have said, but somebody else said, but earlier, it's like being able to the pier, we were walking up to the boardwalk. So this will be the first time on the left-hand side that there'll actually be trees, and instead of in the summertime it being brown, other trees.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so I was going to do that, as well as up on the roof, put the green up there, but in the front, so at least you could see it if you want to look and see there. And then on the bottom, if you didn't want the trees, I could make a little dog park of something, a little gated area, so your dogs can do what they need to do, and that would be good. And then also, again, on the benefit side of it, if we can get through this, on the roof, there is a cam that is a surf line. Surf line is an international cam, and it's your main use in the shore for looking at the Ventnor Pier for the water and the waves. I'm donating, or you can have the site, because they have an advertising marketing piece of that, which they're willing to donate to Ventnor, so you can use for your website, you can use for your badge sales, you can use whatever you want. But everybody tunes into that specific website. It's the most popular website actually on our island right now. It's for surfers, but a lot of people look at it for weather, a lot of people do it for all of that. So mostly surfers, because it's all surf driven, but there are people who look at it for weather, and there are times we go on there just to look at, you know, just what it looks like at the pier at night, with the water hitting, with the lights, it's really beautiful.
Before we get to that, we need to get past her.
Yeah.
Can't we hear the news?
Excuse me one second. If everybody make a separate ruling on residue of kind, I would like to make points that are planning on using.
Well, yeah, if you have something to say about race judicata, let's make a full record, come up, we'll swear you in, stay here all night, let's go. No, it's not, I'm not blaming you. Mr. Sill, just give us your name and address for the record.
My name is William Sill, I live at 103 South Suffolk.
And you swear from your testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
I do. I would just start out by saying that I'm not a practicing attorney anymore, but I was, and I had a really simple test for res judicata. When I look at the case, do I get a massive sense of deja vu? And in this case, I get a massive sense of deja vu. And the reason is that the key issue that this decision turned on is whether a D variance can be granted for a purely personal benefit. And now, what they've come back and asked for is that whether the D variance can be granted for a purely personal benefit. The whole idea of taking down structures and making it better, it's truly not an improvement, because the original was not ever built. And utilizing the example that we had that was given to us, where the building, if you move the building 10 feet, it was a different case because it wasn't on the same property line. Well, here, what we're talking about is having the, having a pool, the spa, an eight-person spa, on a deck, 45 feet over everybody else's, property. And we are then asked to say, well, that's different because we brought it down, we brought the fence down 4 feet. It's not different. You still have the pool, you still have a deck, and it's still on top of the building. And it still raises the same issues. Now, I heard just a moment ago that, no, we won't be able to see anybody from the deck. It's just not possible. Well, you proved in your application that, or you attempted to prove in your application that sight lines from the ground up may not be an issue. But there was no demonstration that someone sitting 45 feet above every other residential house in the area was free from somebody looking down on them, and that is an issue. And I'm not saying that you're a peeping Tom. That's not my suggestion. But I'm looking at this not just with you as being the owner. But down the road, you may decide to sell, you may decide to move, and we have to look at this as objectively as not something that should be granted because this particular person is a good person, but rather whether or not anybody that comes along would give us cause for concern.
This is the reason exactly what you hit upon is what I've been trying to say is in here. The issue is not about the heights. It's about the piece being on the roof.
Right.
That's the issue itself. The other issue was is that the there was a resident in the building next door, and I think that building is a little higher. I'm not sure exactly, but the city but basically discourages rooftop decks,
right,
for the reason of privacy, and so on. In there.
There's actually a prohibition
in that regard. So we're very judicious about that. So the other issue that was discussed, it's not in there, was also that our enforcement personnel going up, city enforcement, and being inspecting and going and being able to get in if there are police or whatever, if there's complaints, whatever the case may be, in that. That was raised in the issue as well in there. And they were all topics that were discussed. And as long as there is the, we'll call, in insurance purposes, the attractive nuisance, that's what, as an insurance company, we would label it as such, that is the situation, that's the magnet. And that's the sole argument and the sole basis of the argument.
I want nothing more. Please continue. I have a quick point after you're done.
Yeah, all right. Nothing more.
I would just like to say that one point I disagree with is in the resolution it talks about that this application was just for personal use. I don't know of one variance that we grant that isn't for personal use. So I don't agree with that particular point. The other points are valid, but that point about that, you know, if it's for your personal use, then we can't grant it. Variance. Well, I have a problem with that.
Thank you. And if I may say, we have an emergency egress. It's a fire escape that goes from the ground floor all the way up to that deck. So you have an enclosed area that goes up to the deck and from there up there. So God forbid there was ever an issue, we have access to that, which you can go to the building now and see. Also, if I may share, and the last time you were here, you were very articulate in what your concerns were specifically. It said, oh, you could, if I didn't have to worry about that, I would be okay. And those three things that were very important to you is, I don't want anybody to be able to get up there and look down, be able to see the house. Well, you cannot. And if you walk to the edge of the building, which you can't because it's going to be, you're going to be by parapet, and a railing. You're not going to be able to get to the side to look down. And if you did, the angle at which you're looking is not like you have this, it's like this. So you would not see anything. The way we set up specifically, really based on what you had expressed, was to ensure that that railing system prevented us from moving anywhere within a short distance of that tub and us not being able to go anywhere but in the tub, out of the tub, and down. That was the one of the things. The other thing that was very concerning to you that you expressed, as you said, I don't think you used the word attenuation, you said the sand. You were really worried about the sand. That hot tub runs. There were people there to the right, and I think you made reference to a neighbor, and it was the Sands who we spoke to, and will support this. They said they're not opposed to it, and they said that they would do that. But with that said, the sound, you won't hear, there's 21 HVAC systems that are surrounding.
We got to focus back on whether the race judicata issue.
We're going to bring this to a vote. It's very simple.
Brian, final word. If there's any questions for me, then we're going to take it to a vote.
And it's raised judicata applies. And the thing is it's not about all the changes. It's about this application. It's a use variance we're going to hear, and it's about use. And that's what it's about. So we have to look at raised judicata regarding use. That's all. That's what the vote is. That's what the application is about.
I respectfully disagree with you.
Well,
it says
if you're applying for use,
the second application is substantially similar to the first. Now, I grant it's the use variance, but what were the conditions of the use variance that caused you to deny the application? That's the issues that you're concerned with. And in my opinion, after reading your decision and resolution, that the conditions that you were dealing with at that time that caused you to deny it was height, railings, noise, location. All of those conditions that I believe four of you voted no for have been changed. We believe that based on the new application, once you hear it, that the three yes votes would remain yes votes, and we hope to change some of the no votes to yes votes. But the application is not the use. It's what were the conditions contained within that use variance application that made you vote no. And based on that, that's the changes that we've made so that you can hear a new application. It's still a use variance, but the terms and conditions of that use variance have been substantially changed. And that's what we're asking you to vote, to give us a chance to present the new application. You still don't like it, you vote no. You like it, you vote yes. But you have to give us the chance to make that presentation to you.
Is there any final questions? So what
we already understand.
What we're going to do, we'll see how we frame this.
It's a yes, no, it's a yay or nay vote. We apply race judicata.
No, we don't.
Yeah, I'm not even afraid to frame it as a motion and a second and the affirmative or negative, because that will confuse people. We're just going to take a roll call vote. If you say yes, and you can give reasons if you want or you don't have to. Yes means you think it's the same application. Res judicata applies, which means he cannot go forward. Everyone understand? No. Res judicata does not apply. Then we'll get to the merits of his application. Everyone got that, right? And if you need to say a sentence, yes, I think we'll work through it.
I just want to ask Brian.
Sure.
One thing. You said there's four different things. You just say very simply, because that'll determine
seven.
How people are going to vote.
Say that again?
In the resolution, why it was denied, you said there was four things.
Well, based on your resolution, you were talking about height of a deck.
One.
You were talking about a railing system around it, which was 8 feet high.
Two.
You were talking about location.
Three.
Closest to the parapet. And you were talking about noise.
Well, there's four different things.
And that's what I think, Mr. Barnett, if we get to the new application, we'll address all four of those things to show how we think that we've addressed the no people as to what. Now, I don't know if they had other reasons to vote no, but that's up to them. But I mean, those were the four issues that I discerned. So when they came to me to say, can you present the application? And I said, have you looking at that? Did you deal with these things? The answer was yes. So that's why we're here tonight.
Okay. Yes.
I just want to read a sentence from the from your decision, from your earlier decision, if I may.
Yes, please.
is in conflict with what I just said. I believe it's in conflict.
And this is from the decision, reading directly. Quote, "To the contrary, the board finds that the use, as proposed to be expanded, is not particularly suited for the subject property, and that the granting of the variance relief to expand the use will cause a substantial detriment to the public good and will substantially impair the intent and purpose of the zone plan and zoning ordinance of the city of Ventnor."
That's exactly right. And the other thing was is that they were changing a roof to a deck, which was not supposed to be a deck. It was supposed to be a roof from day one. And that's what it was designed to be, and that's what it was there. And they're making a change. They're using a roof as a deck. And that was the issue that that I think was the principal issue on the whole matter.
Well, Mr. Cook, you'd still have the ability to vote no.
I just made a statement, that's all. All right, we're going to have
We're done, let's go to the vote.
Yeah. I think I don't want to confuse the board more, but I think we should just vote this way in a roll call vote, 7 votes. Yes, we should proceed to the merits. No, it's barred, because the way it was before it would reverse. Is that
no means stop?
No means stop, yes means we go forward. All right.
Yes equals go, no mean, and no means stop.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Have a roll call.
Jay Cook.
No.
Roman Zabi Hutch.
Yes.
Dan Smith.
Yes.
Mike Wiesen.
Yes.
Peter Tocco.
Yes.
Greg Gaskell.
Yes.
Wendy Bartlett.
No.
All right, so 5 people said we're going forward. You got past the race judicata. Now we're going to have a normal application, and we're going to treat it like a normal application. He's going to present his testimony. Then when we go to vote, this is going to require 5 affirmative votes to pass, because we'll get into it, but we're in the R1 zone. This use isn't permitted. What they're doing is technically expanding it, so that's what triggers the D variance. All right. Thank you. Sorry if I lost a little patience there, but my eyes are killing me for some reason.
You're allowed. Once a year.
Yeah.
All right. Do we need to swear John back in?
No, I think he's sworn.
All right, John, let's start with the new application.
And we will open back up to the public. Correct. Again. Mr. Sill, you'll get another opportunity.
All right,
go ahead.
Okay, well, we've kind of explained it already as a, to get to the reason about the topic, but just to give you the summary of what the proposal is, and then we'll talk about variances. The proposal is to redevelop the roof area structure. You heard Mr. Sanchez explain. The entire building, he has 20 rental units. The entire council is his private residence, and he would like to utilize the roof area for that and the pool that you see in this gallery that you see here, and the submitted the application pass. Functionally, what he proposes to do, as we described, is the swim spa will get placed. Obviously, it has to meet all the structural requirements. The roof has to meet all the structural requirements to support the spa. The swim spa will be placed on the existing roof deck. There will be a series of planters placed around that spa to create a green roof scenario, which is something that is encouraged on rooftops and on high-rise structures. And the position of that spa will be such that it is blocked from the residential properties to the left, and blocked from the residential properties to the south. Just by virtue of its location, it sits generally in the center of the structure. You can see in this exhibit to the upper right, if you were going toward the residential properties to the left, you can see the entire bank of HVAC equipment that already exists up on that roof area. So that area would be blocked from being able to go back into that area by the railings of the ground to the top. And then its position as compared to Cambridge Avenue side is level off that side of the building, you can see a low roof area and a penthouse area that keeps a great separation from the street side. So essentially, when you're on this upper roof utilizing swim spa, you're blocking two directions from the residential properties. Your view or direct view of the ocean is obviously straight ahead of you. But what he's proposing, as you can see, is to even set that railing back off the edge of the structure, so that the person doesn't have to.